Shar and I have a toaster oven that is kind of funny because you have to coordinate the knobs, otherwise it won't work right. And so I can't tell you how many times I have put in a piece of toast or a bagel or a cheese crisp and turned it on and walked away, and 5 minutes later I want to eat my yummy meal and it's just raw because we had the things on the wrong settings. The toaster oven didn't work like it was supposed to. This passage is about the people of God not working like they're supposed to. There's an interesting phrase here. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. The losing its saltiness phrase, and that's probably what Jesus meant by it, if it loses its saltiness, but the word he uses is the word we get the word moron from. If the salt becomes like a moron, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out. That's literally what it says. And I think, and I'm in the minority, I think, in people who think about this stuff, but I think that Jesus is switching his metaphors there. You're the salt of the earth, and if the salt becomes foolish, if the salt that's supposed to be good and valuable and helpful and life-giving and flavorful and wonderful and good, if it becomes stupid, if it's acting like a moron, it's not good for anything anymore. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. So when things don't work like they're supposed to, and Jesus is talking about the people of God. Salt and light is what Jesus calls the people of God here. They're valuable, life-giving, life-enhancing, beautiful things. But what if they become foolish? If you take a light and stick it under a basket, that's a moron would do that, right? I want to point out to you, first of all, that Jesus isn't making this stuff up. The people of God, God has always wanted the people of God to be salt and light. That's always been the purpose of having a people of God. When we did the Old Testament series a year and a half or two ago, what is the phrase that Dr. Kelly used in there? The mission, the story of God is God's mission to restore creation and the calling, creation, and formation of the people of God to participate in God's mission to restore creation, or something like that. I messed it up, but you get the idea. God's mission all along has been for the good of the whole world. And what happened is, over time, the people of God stopped thinking of themselves as the people of God for the good of the world and started thinking of themselves as us, who need to be protected and insulated, and we need to keep the bad people, the stinky people, the people who eat the wrong food, the people who speak the wrong language, we need to keep them out. And if they're in our land, we need to defeat them and cleanse ourselves from the unholiness. We need to send them back where they came from. We need to put up walls and keep them out. We need to look out for number one, our own. And the people of God who were supposed to be for the life of the world became so inwardly focused that they were only for their own lives. They lost their saltiness. They became foolish. They became morons. So let me point out just a couple of these places in the Old Testament that show us that the people of God were always meant to be for the life of the whole world. I'll start with the call of Abraham, whose name at this point was Abram. It hadn't been changed yet. So the call of Abraham, the call of Abram, which is where we get the beginning of the story of what we think of as the people of God. God is going to make a people. God loves everyone, remember. And God will work with and does work with and through all kinds of things. But it seems like part of God's plan was to create a people that would be salt and light for the whole world, not ever for themselves. And listen to this in the call of Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. All families of the earth will be blessed because of you. It was never, ever, 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 ever about just the children of Abraham. It was always, 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 always about all families of the earth. Always. And then this Isaiah 58 passage we read, I'm going to reread some of it, which is a good thing because the air conditioner handler back there was blowing up during Don's reading. Did you notice that? You were so focused on reading, you didn't notice. Everybody else was not listening to you, Don. They were thinking that there was a bomb going off behind the platform. That's what I was thinking. I'll read you some of the important parts because we didn't pay attention when Don read it. Speaking of the air conditioning. Why do you fast but don't see? Now, fast here means worship. Why do you do the worship things? Why do you act like God's people? Why do you go to church? Why do you do holy religious things? That's what fast means in this context. Why do you fast but don't see? Why do you afflict yourselves? Like, really worship hard and give all you've got. But don't notice. Like, you can hear God so frustrated in this. Why do you fast but don't see? Why do you afflict yourselves and don't notice? On your fast days, you do whatever you want. And you oppress your workers. You quarrel and brawl, and then you fast? You hit each other violently with your fists. You shouldn't fast as you are doing today if you want to make your voice heard on high. Stop going through the motions. You've stopped being salt and light. And then God says, this is the kind of fast that I choose. This is the kind of worship. This is the kind of people of God I want. Pay attention. Releasing wicked restraints. Untying ropes that oppress, setting free people who are mistreated, and breaking every bond. It is sharing your bread with the hungry and bringing the homeless poor into your house, covering the naked when they see them, and not hiding away from your own family. Then your light will shine in the darkness, and the gloom will be like noonday. You will be like a watered garden and a spring of water that won't run dry. You will be called menders of brokenness and restorer of shattered lives. That's the kind of people of God that God wants. And what God ended up getting so often was a people who said, our nation first. Who cares about anyone else? I want you to hear some good news in this. Jesus says something absolutely incredible here, and it's worth paying attention to. I'll start with what Jesus does not say. Jesus doesn't say, y'all really ought to be the salt of the earth. Y'all should be the light of the world. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. This is your identity. You are the light of the world. Now, there is certainly a challenge there, but it is to grow up into what you already are. It is not to become something you aren't. Do you see what better news that is? The other day, we were filling the baptismal font with water. Mary Beth and I were filling it up, and Haley was there with us. We were filling the water, and Jess Anderson walks by, and Jess says, is that holy water? And I gave him a complicated answer, and I said, well, it's not yet, but it actually really is. You see, the theology of holy water is that when you pray and bless the water to make it holy, you're not actually changing it from something it wasn't to what it is. You are simply revealing it for what it actually already is. So in a sense, all water is holy water. Any water is holy water. Sometimes it's just covered up because we can't see or tell or notice that it's holy water. And so when we fill the baptismal font with water and then pray a blessing upon it that God would sanctify it to make it holy water, the action isn't taking secular water and making it holy water. It's revealing water for what it actually really is. And that's what I'm saying about us. And not just people who call themselves Christians. People, humans, any of them, are the beloved of God, are salt and light. If it would just be known, if it could be revealed, and if we wouldn't cover ourselves up with so much selfishness. It's something that you already are. You don't have to become something you aren't. You are salt. You are light. This is what we are. Valuable, helpful, beautiful, life-giving, life-enhancing. I want us to focus on what our true identity is. And I find that in the baptism of the Lord. You are my child, whom I love. In you I find happiness. I find it in these words of Christ. You are salt. The salt, not just salt for your family, the neighborhood, the salt of the earth. You are the light, not just for the people around you, not just for those who might see you, not just for your own little group. You are the light of the world. That's who you are, but more importantly, that's who we are. Unless we fall into the problems of the people of God in the past and become morons or hide under a basket. So as we leave, I want us to take a long, hard look at our lives. To take a long, hard look at the church we're a part of. And I think this church is actually really good job of being salt and light. Our denomination, though, might not so much. And maybe we need to be salt and light for that, so we can be salt and light better in the world. We also need to evaluate the things that make us happy. The things that we laugh at. The things that get us excited or worked up, that we cheer for. And I'm not begging on it. What we cheer for reveals how we are existing in the world. When we see people belittled and mocked and ridiculed, are we cheering along? That is not salt and light. Are we laughing along when people are mistreated and hurt and shamed? That is not salt and light. So all I'm saying is to pay attention. When you're laughing, what is that revealing about how well you are living into these salt and light categories that God has given us? This calls for reflecting on ourselves. How are we living into this identity? Are we living as the beloved of God, as salt and light, or are we living like morons in the world? Bringing darkness and pain instead of life and beauty. Remember who you are. You are the beloved of God. You are salt and light. Remember your true identity. Lord God, thank you for these beautiful words of Jesus. Thank you for a church that I am not embarrassed of, for a church that I think lives well into this. But God, there's always ways to be brighter, to shine our lights more intensely, to let you shine through us for the good of the world. Lord, would you help us to be a blessing? Would you protect us from going through the worship motions and yet oppressing our workers? Would you help us to be people who are salt and light? We ask and pray this in your good name. We need you to shine in us and through us. You who are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.